बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी विल बी डूइंग द थर्ड कैंटो 11th चैप्टर कैलकुलेशन ऑफ टाइम फ्रॉम द एटम। So, one of the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj in the 8th chapter of 2nd Canto was, how is time perceived? And what are the characteristics of time? A similar question will be asked by Mother Devahuti also, after hearing these descriptions of Bhakti and the other two yogas. Mother Devahuti asks, my dear Lord, can you please describe in more detail about the process of devotional service? Because the general principles of devotional service were mentioned, but the details were not mentioned so much. So Mother Devahuti requests Kapila Dev to speak little more on the details of bhakti. And then she also asked two other interesting questions. She says, these are the last questions that she asks. Please speak about time. And then she says, please speak about karma. These are the two other questions that she asks. And it is explained that why she wants to know about time, because a devotee needs to know about the nature of time in order to perform devotional service with a sense of urgency. Because one cannot think, otherwise one may become complacent in one's practice of devotional service. So when one meditates on the nature of time, the all-devouring nature of time, it gives them a sense of urgency. And then she also wanted to know about the nature of karma, because by understanding the nature of karma, however pious it may be, it gives only some temporary benefit, which is perishable benefit only. So therefore, one who hears the nature of karma in this material world, then one develops a sense of detachment from this material world, which is necessary to perform bhakti. When bhakti is performed with a sense of detachment, then the progress is faster. So for these two reasons, Mother Devahuti asks to know about the nature of time and the nature of karma. So here in this chapter, Kapila Dev, Parikshit Maharaj also, if you remember in the 2nd Canto 8th chapter, he asked at least two or three times, he repeated, please speak about the nature of time. And how time is perceived here, how time is perceived in the other kalpas, in the other planetary systems, how time is perceived. About the kalasya gati, how the time moves. If you recollect, Srila Vishnachakravarti Thakur was mentioning that in those various questions, he was identifying that this question is relevant for karma mishra bhaktas, this question is relevant for pure devotees. Like that he was identifying which question is relevant for whom. And when the discussion about time came, he was mentioning that these questions about time are relevant for all kinds of devotees. They all have to know and understand the nature of time in order to perform their devotional service with a sense of urgency. And that's something I wanted to mention. And also, we saw that it is mentioned, Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanamiha Lakshanam Varnayante Mahatmana Shrutena Artena Cha Anjasa. Ultimately, the purpose of describing the other 9 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam is to bring out the perfect appreciation of the 10th topic, So therefore, the whole Bhagavatam is structured in such a way that it produces that systematic appreciation of the 10th topic of Krishna. So even an apparently mundane topic like divisions of time, how is time divided, culminates when it appears in Bhagavatam, it culminates in developing a very genuine appreciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We will see the way in which the chapter culminates, ends. It helps us develop a very genuine appreciation of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, not a single syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam is written or spoken with any other purpose other than glorifying the Supreme Lord. The glorification may not appear apparently in each syllable, but it leads us eventually to appreciate the Supreme Lord. So this chapter is no exception. Once towards the end of chapter, we'll realize that how this description of time by Shukadeva Goswami or Maitreya here would also help us develop an appreciation of the Supreme Lord. So Maitreya, in response to Vidura's questions, Vidura also subsequently asked to know about the nature of time, and in response to that, Maitreya is now going to describe the divisions of time. So even though the question is about divisions of time, first he talks about divisions of distance. Like we have millisecond, microsecond, second. The same way we have millimeter, micrometer, meter. So first he describes the divisions of distance. And then he says, we know the speed of sun, the time it takes for the sun to cover this particular distance, from that we can calculate the unit of time. Because if you have distance and speed, distance by speed is time. So that's how the unit of time is, you know, it's arrived at. So here, let's start. Maitreya uvacha charamas sadvisheshanam aneko samyutas sada paramanusa vigneyo ninam aikya brahmoyatah. The paramanu is understood to be the smallest particle of material elements. So paramanu, there is paramanu of distance, there is paramanu of time. So paramanu is just like you can have millisecond and millimeter. So paramanu is like the prefix. Okay. It can be described in terms of distance, it can be described in terms of time. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, it's not the same. Of course, scientists have been calling so many things as atom, or if you see the history of science. So in that sense, I mean, I don't know with which of those descriptions the Bhagavatam description matches. We are going to see that now. So he says, the paramanu is understood to be the smallest particle of the material elements. What is smallest is, again, you know, it's changing. There are innumerable such particles, anekaha, and they are always uncombined. If you say paramanu, because when a paramanu combines, it becomes something else. Like you can say, if atoms combine, they become molecules. Because of their small size, men are mistaken identifying them with the smallest particle that they can see. nrinam aikya brahmo yatah. When they see the smallest particle that they can see, they say that, okay, this must be paramanu. But that is not paramanu, because paramanu cannot be seen by human beings. But Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur mentions, the word nrinam, human beings, is used here because there are some organisms which are of the size of a trasarenu. A trasarenu is like 6 times bigger than the paramanu. There are something like an amoeba or something like that. I don't know. But that can see paramanu. But human beings cannot see. So that's what is mentioned here. So it is mentioned, finding the nature of subtle time difficult to describe, Maitreya describes the divisions of matter. So divisions of time is directly, it cannot be approached. So one has to understand the nature of how distance is separated, and from that the divisions of time is derived. The smallest division of distance is called paramanu. Though the particles are many, in order to understand the subtle nature, it is appropriate to isolate them. And also, by nature, they are always uncombined. Because of its extremely small size, people mistake the smallest particle that they can see to be the paramanu. But it's not. Because paramanu cannot be seen by human beings. But it is not visible. Because it is not visible. The word nrinam is used because some small insects of the size of trasarenu can see paramanu. They are capable of seeing, but human beings cannot see. Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the atomic description of the Srimad Bhagavatam is almost the same as modern science of atomism in principle. May not be in details. In principle, it's same. And this is further described in the Paramanuvad of Kanad. In modern science also, the atom is accepted as the ultimate indivisible particle. Of which universe is composed. Srimad Bhagavatam is the full text of all descriptions of knowledge, including the theory of atomism. The atom is the minute, subtle form of eternal time. Which means equivalent. No? Time, space, equivalent. Sata eva padartasya swarupavastitasya yat kaivalyam paramamahan avishesho nirantarah. Kaivalyam, the totality of all the paramanus which exist before dissolution, is called Paramahan. So it's the smallest unit and the biggest unit is defined. So the smallest unit is Paramanu. The biggest unit is Paramahan, which is the totality of all the paramanus of this universe is put together. That is called Paramahan. With no examination of particular qualities and separate objects. Because if all the atoms are separated, when they combine in different combinations, it manifests in the form of objects which have different varieties. But when separated into individual atoms, of course our understanding is there is an individual nitrogen atom, oxygen atom. You know, different atoms, different sizes. Apparently, the Bhagavatam description, ultimately everything can be reduced to Paramanu, which is same. That's the Bhagavatam explanation of things. Ultimately, everything is made of Paramanus, and everything can be reduced to a Paramanu, and all those Paramanus are same. Okay. So, unlike our understanding of, you know, a carbon atom, uranium atom, there is difference in size. It's not the same. Hmm? See, that's why I said what we call as paramanu and what in English is atom is not the same. Okay. That's why I'll just give a historical perspective to this. If you read Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's biography that Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj has compiled, in that it is mentioned that one of the deep desires of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was to compile what is called a Vaishnava Manjusha. A Vaishnava Manjusha means it's like an encyclopedia where Saraswati Thakur wanted to coin new words in English and which would explain many of the Sanskrit words for which there is absolutely no equivalent English word. For example, rasa, and many other things are there. So he wanted to compile Vaishnava Manjusha, which has all kinds of these terminologies, and he wanted to coin new English words which would explain in detail what exactly it is, what exactly that word means. Because he felt that the medium of preaching is going to be English, and he found English very much deficient to explain most of the concepts that are there in the Vaishnava teachings. And in late 1800s and early 1900s, he envisioned a budget of 5 lakhs. Okay. So to give you some perspective of how much that is worth, once His Holiness or Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, the sannyas guru of Prabhupada, he was at that time working. He had not yet joined the ashram, and he was working and he was giving his month's salary for the running of that particular Gaudiya Math. Okay. The whole Gaudiya Math was running by his donation. And he decided to join the ashram. And all the ashram devotees went and complained to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if he joins, the mutt will stop functioning because the whole mutt is running on his donation. And how much was the donation? 5 rupees. So the monthly expenses of that mutt was 5 rupees. That was donated by Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. So in that age, 5 lakhs was the budget that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had estimated for this Vaishnava Manjusha. It's a multi-volume massive project. He had really envisioned a very huge project. And I think one or two volumes, and the king of Burdwan, he had agreed, or Manipur, one of the two, he had agreed to sponsor it. But he was shocked. He said, when he proposed such a project, he said, yeah, I will sponsor. And then when he said, what's your budget? And he said, 5 lakhs. And then I think he gave 1,000, 2,000 rupees, and then he stopped. Because even that was a lot of money in those days. So I think with that money, some one or two volumes were compiled by his disciples, but it never proceeded further. So if you think you're looking for some exciting engagement fulfilling the desires of acharyas, that's one thing which was very dear to. So basically the reason why I'm mentioning this is that there are so many, because of lack of an equivalent word in English, many words, for example, atom. Atom is not the same as Paramanu. It's something different. But what to do? We don't have an equivalent word in English. The Vaishnava Manjusha is not yet ready. So if it's ready, then we can, you know, introduce new words in, you know, the dictionaries. So here he says that the totality of all the Paramanus which exist separately before dissolution is called Param Mahan. So here it is mentioned, the Paramanu has been described as the smallest particle. Now the greatest state of matter is described. The state of oneness of the Paramanu of the particles of matter, which is a state prior to the condition of Pralaya, is called Param Mahan. Okay. So then he says, evam kalopyanumitah saukshmye staulye cha sattama samsthana bhuktya bhagavan avyakto vyaktabhug vibhu. O best amongst men, whom is he addressing? Vidura. Maitreya is speaking now, no more Kapiladev now. We have shifted. Maitreya is speaking to Vidura now. Evam samsthana. Just as matter has been understood to have very fine and very huge states, kalaha api anumitaha. Time also should be understood to have such divisions of small and large divisions. Paramanu, by pervading the states of Paramanu and Param Mahan by his Shakti, the Lord here means in his form as time, even though invisible, delimits this material realm and pervades it. In the form of Param Mahan of distance, he limits this universe. And in the form of Paramanu, unit of distance, he pervades this universe. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. So in the form of Paramatma, he exists between each Paramanu also. Okay. So through the distance of Paramanu and Param Mahan, he limits the universe and also pervades it. Pervades it through the unit of Paramanu and limits it through the unit of Param Mahan. Okay. Then he continues. Sakala paramanur vai yobungte paramanutam sato vishesha bhugyastu sakala paramo mahan. Yaha bungte paramanutam. The time expended for the sun to go a distance of one paramanu, saha kalaha paramanuhu. That time is called paramanu. Yastu sato avishesha bug. The time expended from one dissolution to the next is called Param Mahan of time. So the smallest unit of time and the largest unit of time is described. The largest unit of time is the time expended from one dissolution to the next. If this is taken to be the final dissolution, then it is about 311 trillion years. That is one Param Mahan. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, time and space are two correlative terms. Time is measured in terms of its covering a certain space of atoms. Standard time is calculated in terms of movement of the sun in the Vedic days. The time covered by the sun in passing over an atom is calculated as atomic time. The greatest time of all covers the entire existence of non-dual manifestation. All the planets rotate and cover space, and space is calculated in terms of atoms. Each planet has its particular orbit for rotating, in which it moves without deviation. And similarly, the sun also has its orbit. The complete calculation of the time of creation, maintenance and dissolution measured in terms of the circulation of the total planetary systems until the end of creation is known as the supreme kala or param mahan of time.
Anurdvau paramanu syatrasarenu straya smritah jalarkarashmya vagatah kam evanupatana kamevanupatan agat.
Anurdvau paramanu syat, two paramanus make one anu. Three anus make a trasarenu. So this is anu trasarenu, you can calculate. The trasarenu is perceived by the eye. So anu cannot be performed, paramanu cannot be perceived, anu cannot be perceived. Trasarenu can be perceived. How? The trasarenu is perceived by the eye when the sun rays enter through the lattice. You have seen? Moving up. It keeps moving up like that. Seems like dust. Kam eva anupatan agad. One can see it moving up towards the sky. So, that is trasarenu. The atom is described as an invisible particle, but when six such atoms combine together, they are called atrasarenu. And this is visible in the sunshine pouring through the holes of a window screen. So here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives a little insight. He says, atrasarenu, some aspects of Vedic science, Paramanuvad, he is telling. Trasarenu can be known as it follows after the air because of its lightness. In whatever direction the air current is, it moves in that direction. In the rays of the sun entering through a lattice. So then one may say, Trasarenu can be seen. So we know that there is something called Trasarenu. How can you say, how can you be sure of anu and paramanu because both are not visible? So one may present this question. So here, some premises of paramanuvad is mentioned here. Here he says, trasarenu is the evidence of the presence of anu and paramanu. How? He says, it is a common rule in the Vaisheshika theory or the theory of atomism, that without having dense and numerous parts, the possessor of the parts cannot be seen. Which means if something is seen, trasarenu is seen, which means according to the Vedic theory of atomism, it must be made of some gross units or raw materials. The raw materials have to be gross. Trasarenu is made of three anus. So therefore, anu has to be gross. Therefore, there must be something which is gross, which combines together to make a particle which can be seen. Trasarenu can be seen. So therefore, the conclusion is, what constitutes the trasarenu must be gross. This is the first principle. We may not have heard, this is according to Vedic theory of atomism, Paramanuvad. Then, then the second premise is that anything that is gross must be made of something which is subtle. So, anu is gross, so the constituents that make anu must be subtle. So that subtle ingredient is paramanu. Two paramanus make one anu. Three anus make one trasarenu. Okay. That's what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions here. Of course, these are in one sense, these are used by acharyas. But in the ultimate sense, it's not like a theistic science also. Something it is based on the Vedic teachings, Paramanuvada of Kanad, but then using those theory, he doesn't come to a theistic conclusion. Even though the basis is the Vedas. Okay. He has just collected information from all the Vedic scriptures and systematized it in the form of Vedic theory of atom. But of course, using that theory, he doesn't come to a theistic conclusion, unlike Srimad Bhagavatam, where even a description of atom and time concludes in establishing the supremacy of Krishna. Kanad's Vaisheshika theory or Paramanuvad is a much more systematic presentation of the same theory, but it does not conclude in establishing the supremacy of Krishna. That's not the purpose also. It's more or less like a materialistic theory that he is presenting. But of course, the basis is the Vedic scriptures. So, Srila Prabhupada gives some So then he says in the next verse, Trasareno trikambungte yakala satrutismritah shatabhagastu vedasyat taistribistulavasmritah. The time it takes for the sun to pass over three trasarenos is a truti. Have you heard truti? Mistake. No. Where in Bhagavatam the truti appear? Moment, but in truti yugayate tvama pashyatam, Gopi git, truti yugayate yugayitam nimeshena, Gopi git, truti yugayate tvama pashyatam, the gopis offer their prayers. So, trasarenu trikambungte yakkalasa truti smritaha shata bhagastu vedasyat. 100 trutis make one Veda and 3 Vedas make one Lava. Where in Bhagavatam does Lava come? That is, of course, Chaitanya Charitamrit. Tulayama lavenapi nasvargam napunarbhavam. Okay, so that is Lava. Then he continues. Here Srila Prabhupada writes, it is calculated that if a second is divided into 1687.5 parts, each part is the duration of a truti. So he has given. So from that you can calculate how much is one paramanu of time. If one truti is 1 by 1687.5 of a second, then accordingly we can backtrack and find out what is the unit of one paramanu of time. And this truti is the time occupied in the integration of 18 atomic particles. So which means 1/18th of 1 by 1687.5 is one paramanu of time. Such a combination of atoms into different bodies creates the calculation of material time. The sun is the central point for calculating all different durations. Apparently, they knew exactly the speed of sun. So, based on that, they calculated. Of course, the speed of sun also, how do you calculate? There are different speeds. Okay. That is mentioned. One that is perceived, one that is actually the speed, okay? Whether it is the linear speed or the speed with which the chariot moves at one speed, the chariot wheel moves at some other speed. So there are at least some 10-12 different speeds attributed to the movement of sun, okay? So I suggest if someone is interested in more details, you can contact His Grace Prem Gaurang Prabhu. He has done lot of work in this and in Vedic cosmology. And yes, like from whatever we have seen and heard within ISKCON, yes, like he is someone who has really done some significant groundbreaking, I won't say discovery, but what he has understood, you know, purely based on teachings of Bhagavatam. That's something really amazing. And he has also derived, developed a mathematical model, derived all the modern observations, and he has established how it is perfectly, you know, those figures can be arrived at using the Vedic model, which even TOVP team till now has not figured out. So they might very likely implement this model, his understanding. Because till now they have something based on what they have understood from Bhagavatam, but it doesn't translate into what is observable, you know, whatever you observe. They cannot explain, but he can explain completely, very to the decimals. That's really amazing. So if... He's in Chowpatti. So if anyone is interested to discuss further, you can contact Prem Gaurang Prabhu. Lot of what he speaks, I don't understand only. he will tell you. Okay. Yeah, he has made. I can forward it to interested devotees. He has compiled it. Okay, anyway. Laguni vai samam nata dasha pancha cha nadika tedve muhurta prahara shadyama sapta vanrinam. 15 lagus make one nadika. 2 nadikas make one muhurta. 6 or 7 nadikas make a prahara or yama for human beings. Oh, I missed one. Okay, sorry. Nimo nimeshastrila vogneya amnatastetrayakshanah kshanan panchavidukashtam laguta dasha panchacha. 3 lavas make 1 nimesha. Yugayitam nimeshena. Anyone knows somewhere where lagu... Oh, cha, lava... 3 nimeshas make 1 kshana. Esya kshana viyogena. Yeah. So many verses with kshana. 5 kshanas make 1 kashta. Kashta. 15 kashtas make 1 laghu. Here... Prabhupada says, by calculation it is found that 1 lagu is equal to 2 minutes. 1 lagu is equal to 2 minutes. Again, this is another information if you want to backtrack and find out. The atomic calculation of time in terms of Vedic wisdom may be converted into present time with this understanding. Like that. Laguni vai samamnata dasha pancha cha nadika tedve muhurta prahara shadyama sapta vandrinam. 15 lagus make 1 nadika, 2 nadikas make 1 muhurta, 6 or 7 nadikas make a prahara or a yama. Yatayamam gatarasam puti paryoshitam chayat. One yama is how much? 3 hours. So the day is divided into 8 yamas. Yama is also 3 hours, same thing. So yata yamam gatarasam means anything 3 hours after it is cooked, according to Bhagavad Gita, is in tamogun. Okay.
Dvadashardha palonmanam chaturangulaihi swarnamasai kritachidram yavat prastajala plutam.
So, an experiment is suggested for calculation of time. Experimental apparatus is also given. If you want, you can try it out. So, he says, take a measuring pot, unmanam, the measuring pot for one nadika, in order to measure what is the duration of one nadika. This is the experimental setup. Okay, so you can take, it can be prepared with a 6 pala weight pot of copper. You have to take a pot of copper which is about 14 ounces, okay, in weight, in which a hole is bored. Okay, but the hole has to be bored with a golden probe. Okay, because it has a particular density. Okay, and it weighs 4 masas. It's a unit of weight, and measuring 4 fingers long. 4 fingers long is not an arbitrary unit. There must be a proper measurement for that. So, if you a particular metal is used, and it's, so you know its density and you know its length, so the radius of that probe is fixed. So, indirectly the radius of the probe is given here. Okay. And you make a hole in that copper pot using that probe, and you put that probe in water. You put that pot in water. The time it takes for that to sink and gets filled completely, that is the time of one nadika. So here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions that this verse defines the length of a nadika. 64 mashas make 1 pala. That's a unit of weight. One should make a hole in the pot using a golden needle weighing 4 mashas and 4 fingers long. If the weight of the vessel is more, or if the hole is larger, then the pot will sink faster than what it should take. Therefore, the exact size and weight of the pot and the needle are specified. But one may ask, why should the needle be gold? Because if the needle is made of silver and has the same length and weight, the hole will be bigger because its density is different. Therefore, specific, metal is given, its length is given, length of the needle. Indirectly mentioning the size of the hole. It's indirectly mentioned. Okay, let's continue.
Yamas chatvaras chatvaro martyanam ahani ube paksha pancha dashahani shukla krishnascha manada.
For the human beings, there are 4 yamas in the day and 4 yamas in the night. So 124 hours is divided into 8 yamas. There are 15 days. So 8 yamas make 1 day. 15 days in the waxing phase of the moon and 15 days in the waning phase of the moon. There are 15 days in the waxing phase of the moon and 15 days in the waning phase of the moon. Those 15 days make 1 paksha, Shukla paksha and Krishna paksha. 2 pakshas make 1 month, masa.
Tayo samuchayo masa pitrunam tadaharnisham dvau tau rutu shad ayanam dakshinam chottaram divi ayane chahani prahur vatsaro dvadasha smritah samvatsarashatam nanam paramayur nirupitam.
Tayoho samuchayo masah. 2 pakshas make 1 masa, Shukla paksha and Krishna paksha together. And one masa pitrunam tad aharanisham. One masa is 124 hours or one day and night for the pitrus. 2 months make a season. So there are 6 ritus. So 2 months make 1 ritu. Okay. And 6 months make a ayana. Uttarayan, Dakshinayan. So 6 months make 1 ayana. Divi ayane chahani prahur. 2 half years make a day and night for the devatas in the heaven. While 1 month is a day and night for the pitrus, 1 year is one day and night for the devatas. Samvatsara shatam renam paramayur nirupitam. 100 years is described as the duration of life for human beings. Okay. Okay, next. Graharakshatara chakrasta paramanvadina jagat samvatsaravasanena paryetyanimisho vibuhu. The sun, a portion of the Supreme Lord in the form of time, situated in the zodiac belt among the planets, 27 constellations and other constellations, travels in a circle through the universe with measurements of time from Paramanu to full year. So the sun goes around, it covers the smallest distance also Paramanu, and then it also in Paramanu time, and it also covers the full year in one Samvatsara time. The time it takes for sun to travel one Paramanu of distance is one Paramanu of time, and the time it takes for the sun to travel one complete one a rotation or revolution is called one samvatsara, 1 year. 1 year is called one samvatsara. So Prabhupada quotes this verse. Yasyagyaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro. So the sun coming around the kala chakra is described in Brahma Samhita also. So then he says, samvatsara parivatsara ida vatsara evacha anuvatsaro vatsarascha viduraivam prabhashyate. O Vidura, the sun's full revolution through the zodiac belt is called a samvatsara. There are different kinds of years that is being mentioned here. 1 year is the solar year, the time it takes for the sun to come around once, one full revolution. The full revolution of Jupiter through the zodiac is called parivatsara. The year for the 27 constellations, the 27 constellations, they also, they take a little shorter time to complete a year. That is called Vatsara. The lunar year is called Anuvatsara. And the remaining constellations, they also take a time to come around the zodiac. That is called Idavatsara. So here Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur explains that this verse gives the different names of the years for the orbiting sun and other heavenly bodies. 1 year for the sun is called Samvatsara, which is 365.25 days. For Jupiter it's 11.87 years. That's what it takes to complete one revolution. 1 year for the moon is called Anuvatsara. It takes 327.6 days, because one lunar month is about 27 days, I think, isn't it? A lunar year is 12 lunar months from full moon to full moon. Since there is no orbital motion of the constellations, time is measured using moon's movement. For the 27 constellations, 12 months of 27 days make a vatsara, 324 days. So for the 27 constellations, they take exactly 27 days for their month. Their month is 27 days. So 12 such months is 1 year for them, which is 324 days. Moon takes slightly longer than the 27 constellations. Because There is no measuring system in relation to the remaining constellations. They have a year called Idavatsara with solar months of 30 days, 360 days. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the subject matter of physics, chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, time and space dealt with in the above verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are certainly very interesting to students of that particular subject. But as far as we are concerned, Prabhupada writes, as far as we are concerned, he is talking about himself, we cannot explain them very thoroughly in terms of technical knowledge. The subject is summarized by the statement that above all the different branches of knowledge in the supreme control of Kala, the plenary representation of the Supreme Personal, the subject is summarized by the statement that above all the different branches of knowledge is the supreme control of Kala. That's the purpose of this whole description, is that everything is controlled by time, which is a plenary representation of the Supreme Lord. Nothing exists without Him, and therefore everything, however wonderful it may appear to our meager knowledge, is but the work of the magical wand of the Supreme Lord. As far as time is concerned, we beg to subjoin herewith a table of timings in terms of the modern clock. So Prabhupada gives the table. Okay. So then, yasrajya shakti murudochvasayan swashaktya pumso brahmaya dividhavati bhuta beda kalakyaya gunamayam kratubir vitanvams tasmai balim haratavatsara panchakaya. The sun, made out of particular material elements, moves in the sky, displaying with force the ability of plants to germinate. So, many of the plants, for their germination, sunlight is important. For some of them, you need good sunlight. For some of them, you need at least some moderate sunlight. But sunlight is very much essential for germination. If there is no sunlight, if it is completely made black, then most of the natural seeds don't germinate. Maybe some, you know, genetically modified seeds, they may germinate, I don't know. But most of the natural seeds, they do not germinate if there is no sunlight at all. Of course, they need different intensity of sunlight is favorable for different germination of different seeds. So one thing that the sun does is it helps germinate the seeds. And then vitanvan gunamayam, and producing material results by means of ritual actions according to proper calculation of time. So many rituals are performed at, you know, there are many auspicious times during the day and many inauspicious times during the day when you do not do any auspicious activity, like that. All of that is calculated using the movement of sun. So one of the main use of the sun is that it helps germinate. Second is it helps perform the rituals at the appropriate auspicious times by helping calculate the time. And second is the third, it's mentioned that it dispels the illusion of men, because when sunlight is not there, you know, without light, you know, it's difficult to see. So therefore he says, tasmai valim harata vatsara panchakaya. Therefore, O performers of dharma, you should make offerings to the sun for promoting the five types of year. So the five types of years that we saw, vatsara, anuvatsara, ida vatsara, samvatsara, and like that. So it is mentioned that therefore, because the sun helps with these things which are very, very much essential for our daily functioning, one should offer, make offerings to the sun
and worship the sun like that. Okay, so with that he describes, he has finished describing the units of time. Now Vidura asks a question to Maitreya, which will take us till the end of this chapter. Vidura uvacha, pitrudeva manushyanam ayu paramidam smritam paresham gatim achakshva yesyu kalpad bahir vidah. He says, you have described the maximum lifespan of 100 years of the Pitrus, Devatas and humans. Because he said, the Pitrus 1 day is 1 month and the Devatas 1 day is 1 year. And each one of them live for 100 such years, that was mentioned. Now he says, please describe the lifespan of others who, being wise, exist beyond the kalpa of Brahma. One kalpa of Brahma is 1 day. Of course, the word kalpa also, in different contexts, the meaning of the word kalpa changes. Till Swargaloka, it is destroyed every day of Brahma. When the night of Brahma arrives, it's destroyed and it's recreated when Brahmaji wakes up. But beyond Swargaloka, Mahar, Jana, Tapa and Satya, these four lokas, they exist throughout the lifespan of Brahmaji. And the residents also, they live for the whole lifespan of Brahmaji. So it's not that Brahmaji only has the lifespan of 311 trillion years. But the denizens of Mahar, Jana, Tapa and Satyaloka also live for that long. This is what Vidura wants to know. Please speak about those denizens. Okay. So then, further, he says, Bhagavan Veda Kalasya Gatim Bhagavato Nanu Vishwam Vichakshate Dhira Yoga Radhena Chakshusha. O Bhagavan, O Master Maitreya, Nanu Veda Bhagavato Kalasya Gatim. I know that you certainly know about the movements of the Lord in the form of time. Dhiraha, Dhira Vichakshate Vishwam Yoga Radhena Chakshusha. Wise people like you see the universe through the eyes which have been perfected by yoga. So therefore, I have full faith that you are very much capable of answering questions related to the subject matter. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, those who have reached the highest perfectional stage of mystic power can see everything in the past, present and future are called Trikalagyas. Similarly, the devotees of the Lord can see everything clearly that is in the revealed scriptures. The devotees of Lord Shri Krishna can very easily understand the science of Krishna as well as the situation of the material and spiritual creations without difficulty. Devotees do not have to endeavor for any yoga siddhi or perfection in mystic powers. They are competent to understand everything by the grace of the Lord who is sitting in everyone's heart. Like that. So Maitreya is going to answer this question and this will go on till the end of this chapter. So Maitreya says, Kritam treta dva param cha kalis cheti chatur yugam devyer dvadasha bir varshaihi savadhanam nirupitam. The four yugas of Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali are described as 12,000 years of the devatas. So 12,000 devata years, which means 12,000 into 360 human years is one Chatur Yuga, which comes to 43,20,000 years. And this includes the Sandhya portions. So every Yuga is flanked by Yuga, Sandhya and Sandhyamsha. Where it's like transition period, where the Yuga Dharma of it's that Sandhya resembles, has some
symptoms of both the preceding yuga and the next yuga. And generally it's about 10% of the duration of that yuga. So it is mentioned that Satya Yuga is 4000 devata years and the sandhyas at the beginning and end of the yuga totally are 800 years. Because 10% of 4000 is 400. So 400 sandhya, 400 sandhyamsha. So that is 400 plus 400, 800. Treta Yuga is 3600 years and the others are similarly calculated. So which means 12,000 divided by 10 is 1 Kali Yuga. Into 2 is Dwapara, into 3 is Treta, into 4 is Satya Yuga. Currently, is it Yuga Sandhya? Yeah, yeah. 4,32,000 divided by 10, which means 43,200. Yeah. Are we in Yuga Sandhya? Anyone knows? I'm not. Okay. 11:30 of Brahma's time. Okay. Yeah, that's how it is. I have read it. I think the Yuga Dharma of that particular Yuga only, Dwaparas, whatever it is. Okay. Then, Chatvari Trini Dvechaikam Krita Disho Yatakramam Sankhyatani Sahasrani Dvigunani Shatanicha. The yugas starting with Satya are calculated by multiplying 1200 by 4, 3, 2 and 1. So 12,000 into 4 is Satya Yuga, into 3 is Treta, into 2 is Dwapara and into 1 is Kali Yuga. Sandhya Sandhyamsha Yorantar Yakka Lashyata Sankhya Yoho Tamevahur Yugam Tadnya Yatra Dharmo Vidiyate. The period between the Sandhyas means between the Sandhya and the Sandhyamsha, which are calculated in hundreds of Devata years, is called the Yuga. The time between the Sandhya and the Sandhyamsha is the Yuga. During this period, the particular dharmas of the Yuga are performed. So Yuga Dharma is practiced in that particular Yuga. So Srila Vishnachakadra Gur writes, the juncture at the beginning is called Sandhya and the juncture at the end is called Sandhyamsha. What are these? He says they are counted in hundreds of years. The period between these two is the Yuga. In the Yugas, the special dharmas of meditation, sacrifice, deity worship and chanting are performed. These are the Yuga dharmas. The regular dharmas, which means the other dharmas, are secondarily performed in the Yugas. But the primary dharma is Yuga dharma. These are practiced as well in the Sandhya and Sandhyamsha. But even in the Sandhyas, the Yuga dharmas are more prominent. There are the regular dharmas and the Yuga dharma. Regular dharma, my understanding is probably the Varnashram dharma. And the Yuga dharma is chanting for Kali, deity worship for Dwapara, sacrifice for Treta and meditation for Satya Yuga. So the Yuga dharmas are more prominent in the Yugas than in the Yuga Sandhyas. Like that. 1 year of the Devatas is 360 years of humans. That we have already seen. The four Yugas are described in the scriptures as 43,20,000 human years, of which Satya Yuga is 17,28,000 human years, Treta is
12,96,000, Dwapara is 8,64,000, and Kali is 4,32,000 human years. Then, Dharmas Chatushpan Manujan Krite Samanu Vartate Sa Evanyeshud Adharmena Vyetipadena Vardata. In Satyayuga, mankind properly and completely maintained the principles of religion. All the four legs of religion were completely properly practiced. But in the other millennia, religion decreased by 1/4. In one of the explanations, Vishwanathacharya Thakur explains that 1/4 does not mean one of those four was gone. It means 1/4 of all four were gone. But in other millennia, religion decreased by 1/4 as irreligion was proportionately admitted. Which we can say that we know for sure, because in Satya what is left? Sorry, in Kali Yuga what is left? Truthfulness. We all know how much it is left. So it cannot be true. Kali has just started. If truthfulness is left in Kali, we all know how much truthfulness is left. So it's not that austerity is completely gone, cleanliness is completely gone, mercy is completely gone, and truthfulness is completely gone. 3/4 of all the four are gone. That's how Vishwanathacharya Thakur explains. Shukadeva Goswami also says in the 12th canto that 1/4, yeah, is gone. Yeah. Okay. Then, Trilokya Yuga Sahasram Bahir Abrahmano Dinam Tavatyeva Nishatata Yannimilati Vishwasrik. O Vidura, beyond Swargaloka and extending to Brahmaloka, one day, which means from Maharloka to Brahmaloka, one day is equal to 1,000 Yuga cycles. Which means 43,20,000 into 1,000. And then the night is another of that same 1,000 Yuga cycles. Okay. Nishavasana arabdo loka kalponu vartate yavaddinam bhagavato manon bunjams chaturdasha. At the end of night, the creation of planets takes place, because till Swargaloka, they get destroyed at the beginning of night of Brahmaji. And then again it's recreated at the beginning of Brahma's day. And one Brahma's day is further divided into 14 Manus. And each Manu is about 71 Yuga cycles. So 71 into 14. Yeah, about 1,000. Okay. Swam swam kalam manurbungte sadikam hyeka saptatim. Each manvantara extends for a little over 71 yugas. Means 71 chatur yugas. Manvantareshu manavas tadvam shyarishayas suraha bhavanti chaiva yugapat shureshas chanu ye chatan. In the manvantara, the manus, the seven sages, the devatas, Indra appear simultaneously with Manu, and the descendants of Manus appear gradually. So we saw, or it is mentioned in the 8th canto, that during a particular manvantara, the six kinds of people are responsible for taking care of the smooth functioning of that manvantara. They are Manu, Manuputras, the Devatas, Indra, the Saptarishis, and Manvantara Avatar. So all six of them. Like that. We'll end with this one shloka. Esha dainandinas sargo brahmas trailokya vartanah tiriyanrupatir devanam sambhavo yatra karma bihi. The daily creation of Brahma involves producing the three worlds in which the animals, humans and devatas appear according to their karmas. So the daily creation of Brahma, which means after Brahmaji wakes up, you know, the lower planets from Swarga till Patala, they are recreated, and again Brahmaji awards bodies for all the living entities. to populate the various planetary systems.
So initially, as per the request of Vidura, Maitreya described about the divisions of time based on divisions of distance. And in the second section, he is discussing about the various other divisions of time, you know, above the of those who reside above Swarga, who are Kalpavasis. So the 26th verse ended with the mention of how Brahmaji, when Brahmaji wakes up, there is creation of bodies of living entities from Swarga till Patal Loka. It's recreated and they are given bodies according to their karma.
Manvantareshu Bhagavan Bibrat Sattvam Swamurtibhi Manvadivir Idam Vishvam Avatyudita Paurushah. In all the Manvantara periods, the Lord supporting material Sattvaguna by His avatars and the Manus, thus revealing His form as a human, protects this universe. So there is, as we saw, apart from the Manus, Manuputras, the Rishis, Devatas and Indra, there is Manvantara avatar also, who also is responsible for the for managing that particular Manvantara period.
Tamomatram upadaya prati samruddha vikramaha kale nanugata shesha aste tushnim dinatyaye.
Accepting a small portion of darkness through the form of Lord Shiva. This is also not exactly Lord Shiva, but an expansion of Lord Shiva, who is Kalagni Rudra. So this is at the time of, at the end of, so using through the feature of Kalagni Rudra, he destroys this universe. Accepting a small portion of darkness through a form of Shiva, Kalagni Rudra, who covers the three worlds with fire and merging the jivas of the three worlds in his body, the Lord remains silent at the end of the day. So this is partial destruction at the end of Brahmaji's day. So the night of Brahma.
Tamevanvapi diyante loka bhoradayastrayah nishayam anuvrittayam nirmukta shashibhaskaram.
Tameva anu, after this destruction of Kalagni Rudra, loka bhoradayastraya, the bhur bhuvaswarga, these three lokas, apidiyante, they disappear, anuvrittayam nishayam, in the night that follows. Nirmukta Shashi Bhaskaram, and that situation, during that time there is no sun or moon also. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, it is understood that the glare of the sun and moon disappear from the sphere of the three worlds, but the sun and moon themselves do not vanish. They appear in the remaining portion of the universe which is beyond the sphere of the three worlds. The portion in dissolution remains without sun rays or moon glow. It all remains dark and full of water, and there are indefatigable winds, as explained in the following verses. Prabhupada says that it illuminates those lokas during that time. That's how this purport says. After dissolution till Swarga, this is at the end of Brahma's day, only till Swarga is destroyed. The complete dissolution takes place only at the end of Brahma's lifetime. So what is described here is the partial dissolution at the end of Brahma's day.
So at that point of time, after that dissolution, the Swarga till Patala is anyway the lower planetary systems have anyway no sunlight, but this Bhurbhuva Swarga, they are bereft of sunlight. They are also bereft of sunlight during the time of dissolution, after dissolution. That's how Prabhupada explained.
Trilokyam dayyamanayam shaktya sankarshanagnina yantyushmana maharlokat janam brigvadayorditah.
When the three worlds are burned by the powerful fire emanating from Sankarshan's mouth, Sankarshana Agnina, during the time of partial dissolution, so the sages headed by Bhrigu, who are staying in Maharloka, they feel the heat. If the third floor is burning, those at fourth floor, they feel the heat. So till Swargaloka is burning, so those in Maharloka are feeling the heat from the fire that is emanating out of the mouth of Sankarshan during the time of partial dissolution. So they leave Maharloka and go to Janaloka. To the fifth floor they go.
Tavat tribhuvanam sadhya kalpante dita sindavah plavayantyut katatopa chandavate ritormayah.
Tavat, then after this, kalpanta edita sindavah, the oceans, the ocean water, water in the ocean starts swelling at the end of Brahma's day. Violently disturbed with waves blown by strong winds immediately cover the three worlds. Non-stop waves, and which are generated by the strong winds that covers the whole the three worlds, the lower three worlds, Bhurbhuva Swarga.
So Prabhupada says that these reactions of 72,000 years are the beginning of the partial devastation of the three worlds. People forget all these devastations of the worlds and think themselves happy in the material progress of civilization. This is called Maya, or that which is not.
Antasatasmin salila aste anantasano harihi yoga nidra nimilaksha stoyamano janalayehi. Anantasano harihi, the Lord lying on Anantasesh remains in that water. Antasatasmin salile aste yoga nidra nimilaksha, with his eyes closed by his shakti called yoga. So that's why it's called yoga nidra. Because it's one of the spiritual potencies of the Lord which makes his eyes close during sleep. That is why it's called yoga nidra. While being praised by the sages inhabiting Janaloka. So during that time, the sages of Janaloka, they are offering praise to the Supreme Lord. So it is mentioned here, the Lord has many expansions of his chit shakti, starting with Vimala. The fifth shakti is called yoga. She takes the form of nidra or sleep. Therefore it's called yoga nidra. The Lord's eyes are closed by his shakti yoga in the form of nidra. Janalayahi means the sages of Janaloka. So there is a note that His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj makes. He says, the 16 energies are described in the Vaishnavas, by the Vaishnavas, according to the scriptures. The 16 principal shaktis are Shri, Bhu, Kirti, Ila, Leela, Kanti, Vidya, and 9 others, starting with Vimala. So they are mentioned as in Vimala, Utkarshani, Jnana, Kriya, Yoga, Prahvi, Satya, and Ishana. So these are the 16 energies of the Supreme Lord. They are like all part of his chit shakti. means spiritual shakti. Prabhupada writes here, we should not understand the sleeping condition of the Lord to be the same as our sleep. Here the word yoga nidra is specifically mentioned, which indicates that the Lord's sleeping condition is also a manifestation of his internal potency. Whenever the word yoga is used, it should be understood to refer to that which is transcendental. In the transcendental stage, all activities are always present and they are glorified by the prayers of great sages like Bhrigu. So when the Lord sleeps also, that is glorified. Otherwise, no one glorifies anyone's sleep. Evam vider ahoratraihi kalagatyopalakshitaihi apakshitam ivasyapi paramayurvayashatam. By such days and nights, characterized by movement of time, even the maximum life of Brahma, consisting of 100 years, comes to an end. Kalagati. So even the life of Brahma comes to an end. And it is mentioned that even Brahma, fearing time, gives up material enjoyment and worships the Supreme Lord. Thus, humans should more intensely take up to devotional service. That is the purpose. Even Brahmaji, it is mentioned here, in the 9th chapter of 3rd canto, Brahmaji offers these prayers. Yasmad bibemyaham api dviparartha dishnyam adhyasitas sakala loka namaskritam yat tepe tapo bahusavo varurut samanas tasmai namo bhagavate dimakaya tubhyam. So Brahmaji says, dviparartha dishnyam adhyasitah api. Even though my lifespan is 311 trillion years, dviparardha, even though situated with such a long lifespan, yasmadaham bibemi, I used to fear this time, that how it's going to consume my life. Even though I used to stay in Brahmaloka, yet sakala loka namaskritam, all the living entities in all the other lokas, they worship this abode of mine. They want to come here. But situated in such a glorious abode, I used to fear time, Brahmaji says. Avarurut samana, and I tried my best to bring this time under my control. Tepe tapo bahusavo, and I used to perform lot of sacrifices with a desire to bring this time under my control. I couldn't. Tasmai namo bhagavate adhimakaya tubhyam. Therefore, now in pure devotional service, I offer my respects to the Supreme Lord, who is the controller of all sacrifices. Like that, Brahmaji offers his prayers in the 9th chapter of 3rd canto, where he says that, what to speak of others, I have such a long lifespan, still I used to fear the influence of time. And I tried to control it, I could not. Therefore, I am worshipping the Supreme Lord now. The meaning, if that is the case with Lord Brahma, then how much more sincerely the other human beings should be worshipping the Supreme Lord. That's the meaning of this verse. Even Brahma, fearing time, giving up enjoyment of material objects, worships the Lord constantly. Humans of short life intensely enjoy material objects and do not worship the Lord. They must make efforts in bhakti and detachment. For that reason, it is necessary to describe the nature of time, so that it creates detachment and a sense of urgency. Like that. Yadardam ayushastasya parardam abhidiyate purva parardo pakranto hyaparodya pravartate. He says, yad ardam ayusha tasya parardam abhidiyate. The half life of Brahma is called one parardha. Purvaha parardo apakrantah. The first 50 years is over now. Aparo adhya pravartate. The second half has just started. The first day of the second half of Brahma's life.
Purvasyadau parardasya brahmo nama mahanabhut kalpo yatravavad brahma shabda brahmeti yam viduhu.
In the beginning of the first half of Brahma's life, purvasya adau parardasya. In the beginning of the first half of Brahma's life, brahmo nama mahan kalpaha abhut. There was a millennium called Brahma Kalpa. Means the day of Brahma. It's called Brahma Kalpa because Brahmaji was born on that day. It was Brahmaji's birthday. Therefore, that Kalpa was called Brahma Kalpa.
Yatra abhavad Brahma shabda brahmetiyam viduhu. Wherein Lord Brahma appeared along with the Vedas.
So therefore, that the first day, first year, first day of Brahmaji is called, the first day of the first year of Brahmaji is called Brahma Kalpa. Kalpa means day. So the 30 days of a month of Brahmaji have different names, and those 30 days keep repeating 12 times for a year. And like that, 100 years, like that. Here it is described. As described in the Prabhas Kanda, there are 30 days starting with the waxing Pratipat Tithi and ending with the dark moon Tithi, with names starting with Shweta Varaha Kalpa and ending with Pitru Kalpa. So the first day of the month of Brahmaji is called Shweta Varaha Kalpa. One Kalpa means the day. And the last day is Pitru Kalpa, 30th day. This makes 1 month of Brahma. These months are repeated 12 times to make 1 year. 50 of those years is called one Parardha. The first day in the first Parardha is Brahma Kalpa or Brahma Kalpa. It's also, of course, every first day of the month is Shweta Varaha Kalpa. That first day, first year first day is additionally called Brahma Kalpa because Brahmaji was born on that day. It is also called Brahma Kalpa because it is Brahma's birth tithi. It is described in the astronomical scriptures as occurring on the Shukla Pratipat of Chaitra month. Okay. I have absolutely no clue what it means.
Tasyaiva chante kalpo bod yampadmam abhichakshate yad harer nabi sarasa Asid lokasaroruham.
The kalpa at the end of the first half of Brahma's life is called Padma Kalpa. So the 30th day of the 12th month, last day of Brahmaji's 50th year, is called Padma Kalpa. Okay. That same Padma Kalpa, which Shaunakadi Rishi said, no, we don't want to hear Padma Kalpa. We want to hear Vidura Maitreya Samvad. Okay, no problem. So Padma Kalpa appears through Vidura Maitreya Samvad. So the desire of Suta Goswami is also fulfilled. And Shaunakadi Rishi also wouldn't mind because it comes through Vidura Maitreya Samvad. So Maitreya is now telling that the last day, 360th day of the 50th year of Brahmaji is called Padma Kalpa because the planets took the form of a lotus in the navel of the Lord. So which means that it's not that every day of Brahma a lotus comes out of the navel of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and Brahmaji goes and sits there, and this lotus represents the 14 planetary systems. It's just one of the days. Different days, it's a different type of creation.
So on that day on which the creation took place by through a lotus, that is called Padmakalpa. That's how it is described here. So Srila Vishnachakra Thakur mentions the Pitrukalpa, which occurs at the end of the first half of Brahma's life, is also called, we saw that the last day is called Pitrukalpa. First day is called Shvetavarahakalpa. So the last day of the 50th year, which is also a Pitrukalpa, is mentioned here. The reason why it is also called Padmakalpa is given here. It is to be understood that in every kalpa, a lotus which forms all the planets do not appear. It's not, doesn't happen every day. It appears only sometimes. And on that day on which a lotus appears, it's also called Padmakalpa. Like that. Yeah. A lotus. This is one thing which is described because it's the most recent appearance. But other ways in which Brahmaji appears, it's not mentioned.
This in the Subodhini is mentioned that the Padmakalpa is the second day after the...
That is coming now. There are like some 4 or 5 different understandings of what exactly is this Padmakalpa. Different acharyas give different opinions and explanations. We will not go through the explanations. We will come directly to the conclusions. This word Padmakalpa could refer to either this day or this day or this day, like that. They have given 3-4 choices. So different acharyas have different opinions. Okay, we will see. Ayam tu katitakalpo dvitiyasyapi bharata varaha iti vikyato yatra sichukaro harihi. O Vidura, the first day in the first half of Brahma's life is called Varaha Kalpa. The first day in the second half of Brahma's life is called Varaha Kalpa, during which Varahadeva appeared. So, it's a long explanation of what could this Padmakalpa mean. I am skipping all that explanation. So finally, the conclusion is, thus Padmakalpa can refer to the first or second day of Brahma's life, the last day of the 50th year of his life, or the first day of his 51st year. Okay? 4 options. Okay, let's continue. Kaloyam dviparardakyo nimesha upacharyate avyakritasyanantasya hyanader jagadatmanah. The span of 2 parardas, the lifetime of Brahma, is represented by a moment of time for the Supreme Lord. So now is the real subject matter that's coming. So it was all built up to explain the purpose of explaining this whole life's, you know, gigantic lifespan of Brahmaji is to come to this point. That this span of 2 parardas, 311 trillion years, which is the lifespan of Brahma, is 1 nimesha for the Supreme Lord, who is beyond change, avyakritasya, anantasya, without end, anadi, without beginning, jagadatmana, who is the cause of the universe. See, Maitreya, while describing, has mentioned that this whole lifespan of 311 trillion years is just 1 nimesha of that Supreme Lord. One may say, fine, you have given me a good lead now. So 311 trillion years is 1 nimesha. So I know what is 1 nimesha. Like that, I will calculate the 100 years for the Supreme Lord. So it's not for that purpose. So it's not literal, it's figurative. How do you know? That's why it is mentioned that the Lord is anantasya, anader,
avyakritasya, he is beyond change. Brahmaji vanishes at the, you know, Brahmaji also grows old. But the Lord does not grow old. Avyakritasya. He has no beginning and no end. So therefore this nimesha is only figurative and not literal. So one should not just try to calculate. You know, it might be a big figure, but nevertheless the Lord also has a beginning and end. One should not come to such a conclusion. So of course Prabhupada quotes this verse from Brahma Samhita. Yasyaika nishvasita kala mata valambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanataha Vishnur mahan saiha yasya kala vishesho govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Yasya eka nishvasita kalam avalambya, by taking shelter of that one breath, one breathing time or one exhalation time of Mahavishnu or Yasya, of that person, Jivanti, live, Loma Vilaja Jagadandanataha, Loma Vilaja is Brahmaji, Jagadandanataha means millions of Brahma, millions of Brahma, their lifespan is that Eka Nishvasita Kala. Who is that personality? Vishnur Mahan, Mahavishnu. Sa iha yasya kala visheshu. He is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of this personality, Govinda. Govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami, like that. That is the, this verse is the essence of this whole chapter. Prabhupada is quoting it here. I worship Govinda, the Supreme Personality of God, at the cause of all causes, whose plenary portion is Mahavishnu. All heads of the innumerable universes, the Brahmas, live only by taking shelter of the time occupied by one of his breaths. I don't know. The impersonalists do not believe in the form of the Lord, and thus they would hardly believe in the Lord sleeping. Their idea is obtained by a poor fund of knowledge. They calculate everything in terms of man's capacity. They think that the existence of the Supreme is just the opposite of active human existence. Because the human being has senses, the Supreme must be without sense perception. Because the human being has a form, the Supreme must be formless. And because the human being sleeps, the Supreme must not sleep. Srimad Bhagavatam, however, does not agree with such impersonalists. It is clearly stated herein that the Supreme Lord rests in Yoga Nidra, as previously discussed. And because he sleeps, naturally he must breathe. And the Brahma Samhita confirms that within his breathing period, innumerable Brahmas take birth and die. There is complete agreement between Srimad Bhagavatam and the Brahma Samhita. Eternal time is never lost along with the life of Brahma. Eternal time is never lost along with the life of Brahma. It continues, but it has no ability to control the Supreme Lord, because the Lord is the controller of time. Even though the Lord may appear at regular intervals, but that does not mean he is subservient to time. Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He says specific times. And we say that, oh, incarnation, is it predicted in the shastras? We say, if it is predicted, is the Lord obliged to appear? No. But whose prediction is it anyway? Lord's prediction only. It is his words. So, so then it is mentioned, kaloyam paramanvadir dviparardanta ishvarah naiveshitum praburbhumna ishvaro dhama maninam. Time is the controller from the duration of a paramanu of time to Brahma's complete lifespan of dviparardha. Paramanu Adir Dviparardha Anta. From and everything in between. Na eva ishitum prabhur bhumna. But this time cannot control the Supreme Lord. Time controls even the inhabitants of Satyaloka, but it cannot control the Supreme Lord. This is the purpose of this whole description, to establish the supremacy of the Supreme Lord.
Vikarai sahito yuktair visheshadibiravritah andakosho bahirayam panchashatkoti vistritah dashottaradikairyatra pravishta paramanuvat lakshyateantargatashchanye kotishohyandarashayah.
Within the porthole of Mahavishnu, the universe composed of 16 transformations and 8 elements, measuring 5, yeah, panchashat koti, means 50 crore, right? Yeah, 50 crore yojanas. One yojana is about 8 miles. So that is the dimension of diameter of the universe. And then 10 times that is the layer of earth. 10 times that layer of earth is water. And like that there are 8 layers. You can imagine how big is that universe. So in terms of time he has described, but in terms of distance now he's describing that universe which is so big. He says appears like a paramanu. Again, it's not meant that, you know, one should start calculating. If so big is one paramanu, then like that, this must be the size of earth, the Supreme Lord. He says millions of other universes also appear within the Lord's pores. Also within the Lord's pores appear small as well. So all the other universes also, they appear like a small paramanu when it comes out of the bodily pore of Mahavishnu. So just to indicate the size of the Lord. Also it's not to indicate that, okay, you can calculate the size. If let's say millions means reasonably we can take about 10 million and then each body pore is one paramanu. It's not meant for such a calculation. It's just to say that he is immeasurable. So Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur writes, the Lord was described as the soul of the universe. Now he is described as the covering of the whole universe. Beginning with 8 elements and 16 transformations, that is 16 transformations are Karmendriyas 5, Gyanendriyas 5, mind, that is 11, then 5 Tanmatras, 11 plus 5, 16. The universe covered by 7 layers appears very, very small. Srila Prabhupada writes here, the coverings of the universes are also constituted of the elements of earth, water, fire, air and ether. Each is 10 times thicker than the one before. The first covering of the universe is earth and it is 10 times thicker than the universe itself. Which means the universe itself is hardly visible inside the coverings. If you look at the coverings, the universe is hardly visible like that. Last verse of the chapter. Tadahur aksharam brahma sarva karana karanam vishnor dama param sakshat purushasya mahatmanah. That body of Mahavishnu, the Supreme Soul, the Purusha, is said to be the indestructible Brahman, the cause of all causes. Srila Prabhupada gives a slightly different translation here. Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is therefore said to be the original cause of all causes. Thus, the spiritual abode of Vishnu is eternal without a doubt, and it is also the abode of Mahavishnu, the origin of all manifestations. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Lord Mahavishnu, who is resting in Yoga Nidra on the causal ocean and creating innumerable universes by his breathing process, only temporarily appears in the Mahatattva for the temporary manifestation of the material worlds. He is a plenary portion of Lord Shri Krishna, and thus, although he is non-different from Lord Krishna, his formal appearance in the material world as an incarnation is temporary. The original form of the personality of Godhead is actually the Swarupa or real form, and he eternally resides in the Vaikuntha world. The word Mahatmanah is used here to indicate Mahavishnu, and his real manifestation is Lord Krishna, who is called Parama as confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The Supreme Lord is Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, known as Govinda. His form is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and he is the original cause of all causes. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 3rd canto, 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Calculation of Time from the Atom. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.